Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you. We lift this time and this message up, and we put them into your hands. We ask you to do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we continue our look at the seven parables of Matthew 13 that tell us about the kingdom of heaven, which is the manifest will of God that maintains its own eternal reality in the midst of our temporal reality. So far, we've looked at the parables of the sower and the seed and the wheat and the weeds. This morning, we move on to the third parable, the mustard seed and the tree. This parable is also noted in Mark 4 and in Luke 13. Matthew 13, 31 through 32, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is fully grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." To understand what this is telling us about the kingdom of heaven, we need to know something about the main character of this parable, the mustard seed. The mustard seed is one of the small... Is it up there? Is there a mustard seed on the... Kyle, there's no mustard seed. Yeah, so it's there. That's how small it is, yeah. We need to know something about it, the main character of the mustard seed. Mustard is one of the smallest seeds we know of, and it surely would have been the smallest that any of the original hearers of this parable would have known. The tree grew wild and was also cultivated in gardens in that area, as noted in this parable. So when he said the mustard seed and the mustard tree, they all knew what he was talking about, unlike us. I remember my grandmother had a little glass pendant that had a mustard seed in it that you could see. And there was a scriptural reference right behind it. And the scriptural reference was from Matthew 17:20. "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you." And I was struck how small that seed was. I remember that seed being about the size of a tick, if you don't know what a tick is, or a crumb from a famous Amos bite-sized chocolate chip cookie that falls into your lap, or your stomach, if that should come first. You can tell what I was doing when I wrote this. Well, the mustard seed is known for its small size. The black orchid is considered the smallest seed. It is also known for an astonishing rate of growth in often harsh soils, sometimes growing as much as 10 feet in a year. Now, the coconut is considered to be the largest seed, well, technically the sea coconut, and it could weigh up to 40 pounds. That's going to matter because I'm going to use it. So what does this small seed tell us about the kingdom of heaven? On a macro scale, on a big scale, it surely speaks to the way the kingdom of heaven spreads its roots into the world, and it grows to prominence. The church growing from a poor carpenter's son with 12 followers in an obscure part of the world into a force that now permeates the landscape of mankind. In short, the kingdom of heaven was hard to see when it began. Few were even aware that it was there. But as it began to grow, it started to be noticed. And ever since, it has been offering peace and shelter to the world from which it sprung. No matter what else happens in this world, the kingdom of heaven is here, and it is moving on to its divine destiny, the absolute manifestation of the will of God in this world. This parable indicates the world was created by and for the kingdom of heaven to root itself in, instead of the world creating the kingdom of heaven to explain our own existence. This morning, I would like to step away from this macro big picture consideration of this parable, as valid as it is, and consider it from a micro point of view, a tree rather than forest consideration. The kingdom of heaven manifests itself in this world through each of us as individuals. The same truths and principles apply to both the kingdom of heaven as a whole and to the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, each one of them. How the mustard seed applies to you and me as part of the kingdom of heaven. Point is, in the kingdom of heaven, value and acceptability are not determined by things like strength, looks, wealth, or personality, me, and are determined by humility, me. This is why the poor and the poor in spirit are noted as blessed in the kingdom of heaven by the Beatitudes. In the kingdom of heaven, humility is the fertile ground that brings great things from small beginnings. It makes the unnoticed and the obscure dominant. Time and time again, God chose the least obvious person in the world to build his kingdom upon. The one who would be the most counterintuitive to the world's ways of thinking. So much so that to the world, God's choices appear to be foolish. Remember when Jesus told his disciples that it was harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Remember the disciples' reaction to this, the confusion when they said, well, who can then? They were confused because the principle of the kingdom of heaven conflicted directly with the principles of this world. What life had taught them was conflicting with what Jesus was teaching them. By design, the kingdom of heaven does not function by the same rules as the kingdom of men. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. God has chosen. God decided to directly confront the conventions of this world with those of his kingdom. The poor are rich. The one who surrenders wins. Faith is stronger than intelligence and might. And the one who serves is the greatest. Throughout Scripture, the people who God chose for leadership give us an example of the counterintuitive values of the kingdom of heaven. In a world full of tough, giant coconuts, God searches the earth for someone small enough and humble enough to invest the vast power of the kingdom of heaven into. God wasps packs the coconuts and stoops down to pick up the obscure mustard seeds that no one notices, saying, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Let's see how this plays out in a couple places from Scripture. Abraham and Israel. Abram, before he was Abraham, lived in a great city in the midst of a great civilization. God called him to leave there and go to the middle of nowhere to be a goat herder. Palestine, Canaan, was the place you went through to get somewhere else. Rocks and shrubs as far as the eye could see, with little pockets of fertile land in the few places where water could be found. Ever wonder why Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome never stayed there in great numbers after they conquered it? Because there was nothing there of worldly value. It offered nothing but a strategic location between other valuable lands. And three great trade routes ran through Israel. It was hard to get anywhere desirable without going through there. It was like our Nevada. You had to go through there to get to California most of the time. It was the mustard seed of the world. But God chose it, and Abram, specifically because it was not a hardy coconut, but rather an obscure mustard seed. God chose to plant his kingdom where no one else would. What the world rejects, God uses. Remember, the stone that was rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world. Became the cornerstone of the kingdom. Same can be said for the people of Abraham. They lived as goat herders. They had no standing army and didn't get along with the surrounding people. They were conquered repeatedly. They were incidental in this world. And we would have never heard of them or even speak of them if God did not push that tiny mustard seed firmly into the soil of Canaan and water it with his word and his will. We would have no idea who the Hebrews were if it wasn't for that. They were not a great people in this world. Deuteronomy 7, 6, 8 says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than all the other people. For you were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you and kept an oath which he swore to your forefathers. God didn't choose his people because they were winners. He chose them because they were not giant coconuts, but a tiny mustard seed. God knows exactly what he wants and exactly how to get it. God did not choose Israel to be his people and his place because they were the best that this world had to offer. They were not winners in this world. They were incidental to the world. Neither were the people of Israel a moral juggernaut. They did not set a standard of morality and love that attracted God to them. Deuteronomy 9:4-6 says this, "Do not say in your heart, when the Lord God has driven them out before you," speaking of the promised land, "because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord has disposed them before you. It is not for your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you're going to possess the land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the earth oath which the Lord swore to the fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people." And that surely applies to us. There is a New Testament meaning to that last verse. God did not choose Israel because they were the biggest or the best this world has to offer, but because they were the smallest and the least rotten. How God chose his nation is how he chooses his individual sheep. Israel is a foreshadowing of you and me. You are a mustard seed in this world, but when planted by God, you will become a place of refuge to the world. The Beatitudes spell this out for us, what God is looking for, what God values, and what an attribute in the kingdom of heaven is. Here's a couple other examples of God casting mustard seeds of the kingdom of heaven upon the world. Moses. When Moses was a young, strong prince of the mightiest nation on earth, God did not use him. God pushed that mighty coconut into the wilderness until time and circumstance wore him down to mustard seed size. It wasn't until Moses was 80 years old, a wanted murderer, herding his father-in-law's goats, they weren't even his, in the middle of nowhere, that God called him to do through his power what Moses had already failed to do through his own power years ago. Here's all you need to know about Moses ending up as a mustard seed. Numbers 12:3 says this, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." That's what allowed the power of God to flow through him. Gideon, a judge of Israel. Due to their sin, Israel was under constant harassment from the people of Midian. In a nation full of coconuts, God looks through the land to find a mustard seed to work through. He found Gideon hiding in a wine press, and while he was hiding in fear, an angel of the Lord proclaims him to be a valiant warrior. As with all valiant, mighty warriors, Gideon responds to God saying, "Say what?" Gideon proclaims his status as a mustard seed. He said that he is the least of the men in the least of the tribes of all Israel. Why are you telling me? The smallest mustard seed in a pile of mustard seeds. Literally, the worst possible choice in the world. Which made him the best possible choice in the kingdom of heaven. When Gideon managed to build a strong army of 22,000 warriors to fight Midian, God allowed him to use only 300 of them, telling Gideon to send the rest home. You don't need them. Judges 7:2. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands. For me to do it. There are too many of you. For Israel become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me." That's called pride, which is the opposite of humility. You see, God made Gideon use less soldiers to protect him and Israel from their own pride. You see, Midian, the world, was never a danger to the kingdom of heaven, ever. But pride surely was. Gideon did what he was told in faith, unleashing the power of God into that tiny little mustard seed and giving God's people a great victory. When it was all finished and Israel was basking in the victory, they turned to Gideon and did what the world would do. They tried to make them their big coconut. Here's how Gideon responds from Judges 8, 22 and 23. The men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son. Also your son's son, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian." Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." A mustard seed in the kingdom of heaven refuses to be a coconut in the world. You see, this is how things still work in the kingdom of heaven. Nothing's changed. This is why the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. From humble beginnings flow the power of God from the kingdom of heaven through us and into the world. Jesus himself did not come into this world as a coconut. He came as a mustard seed. He was despised. He was rejected. He was poor. He was nothing to look upon. Luke 14:11 tells us the great truth of the kingdom of heaven. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The coconut will die, and the mustard seed will grow into a mighty tree. If we refuse to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, we will be humiliated in the sight of all. If we refuse to be a mustard seed, we cannot be a tree in the kingdom of heaven. John Flavel wrote, "They that know God will be humble, and they that know themselves cannot be proud." God makes both of these things happen so that his power can bless this world through you. We become less in this world so that we can become more for the world through the kingdom of heaven. Amen.